You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's time for Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that brings you the freshest New Albany steamed hams.
Nice, I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
And I'm Super Nintendo Chalmers.
It's actually Utica.
Yeah.
No, actually, he was from Utica. No,
that's
Steam
true.
Hands come from New Albany.
That's true. Seymour, the house is on fire.
No, Mother, those are the Northern Lights.
Those are the Northern Lights. In this studio, at this time of day, in this part of the world.
Yes.
Well, Seymour, you are an odd fellow, but I must say, you steam a good ham.
Okay, we've got it all.
We've got it. We've done all of steam hands. All right. So, yeah, thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over.
Steamed hams, but it's Nerd Overload.
Well, let's get into the things we've been checking out. I'm done with the intro. I'm done with this intro.
It immediately went off the rails in the best way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I do want to know why the rise of some clip in an ancient episode of The Simpsons.
Steamed hams is great, though.
Yeah, well, I know, but
it's a fantastic Simpsons gag.
It just blew up for some reason.
I think the first thing that did it was that steamed hams, but it's Rock Band track.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Guitar Hero, one of the two. Mm-hmm. I think that's what brought it back into the public consciousness. And from then on, it's been steamed hams, but it's,
I think,
so
my
steamed hams all the way down.
Yeah.
I think my favorite, though, was the L.A. Noir.
Oh.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
Yeah, that was very good.
There's a ghost trick one, which is
there is
a really obscure pull, but the person who did it like put a lot of time into it. It looks like ghost trick.
Oh, that's excellent.
Anyway, check it out.
Check it out. I'll do mine real quick because I can't talk about it, which seems to be a theme lately.
Yeah, it's not cussed.
It's not cussed, no. Although, if you're listening to this, I'm probably, depending on when you listen to it, I'm probably on my way to the second cuss. But no, I got a chance to see Avengers Infinity War on opening night. Everyone go see that movie right now. Don't read any spoilers. Just do it. Just go see it. Just do it. Don't sleep on this one.
Do it.
I'm not going to talk about it because I'm not going to talk about it.
You're not going to be that guy that spoils it for
everybody. I'm not going to be that guy. Go see this movie. Like, oh my God, go see this movie. No, so that's really been all I've checked out, although I did discover that they brought back Oreo-O's to stores.
That's a good cereal.
And I was munching down on a bowl of Oreo-O's this morning before we started recording the show, and let me tell you, it's delicious.
Still good.
Still good after all these years.
Yeah, it's the same cereal, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they didn't bring it back. It's not like a Pet Sematary situation with the cereal
where it came back wrong.
Yeah, it's not a Mountain Dew Pitch Black situation where it came back but it wasn't right. No,
actually,
this is exactly...
I think I like the newer version of Pitch
Black
versus the old
one. Well, you are a crazy person.
Well, I don't like grape-flavored things anyway.
But it tastes just like grape. And there's a joke no one got.
There's a joke that is just for the four of us in this room.
Yeah.
With that. Wow. Mm. Perfect radio. In jokes and steamed ham. We're rocking it.
You almost said stink ham.
I almost said stink ham. Yeah.
Stink ham. I have to say, Seymour, you stink a good ham.
Oh, all right.
Speaking of Pet Sematary references.
Yeah, let's hear it.
We watched Justice League the other day.
That's a fun time.
No, it wasn't.
No, not even a little bit.
No, it was a bad time.
I got bored like halfway through, maybe even less. I don't know.
It's a long movie to be so bad.
It is very long and very just not interesting. Like
stuff happens, but it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, for some reason I didn't give a crap. I don't know. Like, they even managed to make Wonder Woman not cool anymore.
Yeah, like, everything about that movie was awful. I just, yeah.
Super bland.
Yeah. Gotta
just
get
written bad.
Get my cubes. Gotta get a Bendigo and get me cube, Morty.
Yeah.
That sketch kills me. I've been using it way too much lately. I even called Games. A guy works at GameStop, Preston. Me and him go back and forth with it real bad. I called GameStop. And I was like, we're going to Bendigo. And I could hear him cackling in the back. It was so like, because another guy, Travis, put the phone, goes, I don't want to go to Bendigo. And I could hear Preston just dying in the background. For people who don't know, Adult Swim did this weird Rick and Morty sketch from a fan animator where Rick and Morty are Australian, just regular people going to some area called Bendigo. It's so sick.
To get Rick's cube.
It's so stupid and weird.
I still can't sit through the whole thing, but I still think get me cube is hilarious. But anyway, Justice League. It was weird to see Wonder Woman shot from the male gaze.
Yeah, it's not great.
Doesn't seem like Wonder Woman. I forgot Aquaman was in the movie at one point.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, he is in this movie.
Oh, yeah. How did they make Aquaman, a guy who lives underwater, look like he stinks?
yeah, they did.
It's like a thin layer of filth.
Yeah. That shouldn't happen.
Have you been in the ocean? It's polluted.
That's true. Yeah. His contacts are real bad, too.
They're not good.
He looks like a googly eye man the whole time.
So it was really apparent to me while watching that film what scenes were shot by Zack Snyder and which ones were retouched by Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Like, so painfully obvious between the two.
It's literally night and day.
Well, that one's the scene where Superman comes back. If you watch the trailers, that was all shot at night. That was all supposed to be like day for night, like composited and darkened down to make it a nighttime fight. And they like brightened it. So all the costumes look weird and washed out. And what do you think of Superman's face? Because, you know, they had to CGI his mustache off.
It was not great.
Man, I tell you, like, one of like my favorite cringy moments in that movie is when they're fighting him, the newly resurrected Superman. Yeah. And like he's got everybody basically in a chokehold, and Flash is running circles around him, and then he just slowly turns his head and looks at him like he smelled a bad fart in the shower.
Yeah. Oh, the worst part for me was right at the very beginning. They had like that phone camera.
Oh, with the kids.
Video of the kids asking,
and his face and Superman so like weird.
Smiles at the camera, and you see like the CGI lip jiggle because because I can't get it right. He's like, it's like.
Like, it was like Superman done by Seaman.
It's awful.
And there's so many jokes that just did not land.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
It was just like, oh, there they attempted a humor.
Yeah.
Even the Joss Whedon-y jokes were just too Joss Whedon-y to be any good.
Yeah. I thought the Flash was probably the closest thing to an enjoyable character in the film. But I got tired of him whining about not being
able to do anything
about his abilities. He's the fastest man alive, and when he runs, lightning comes out of his boots and face. Yeah. Like, come on.
It felt like Ezra Miller was trying to do his best Adam Devine.
Yeah, that's it.
And like, if they would have just got him, that probably would have been pretty
worked
great.
Just as well, sure. And okay, can you tell me anything about the villain of that film?
He looked like a Power Rangers bad guy.
Yeah.
Like a bad one.
Yeah, yeah, not a good one.
Like one of the later seasons where the budget ran out.
And it was another thing where somebody was really upset about their mommy. He kept talking about his mother box.
Yeah. Oh,
it's another mother issue thing.
The,
like,
the Martha box?
I was going to say that. Ah, oh, you jerk.
It's like, what is with all the mommy issues in these films?
That's okay. The Marvel films have daddy issues.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Odin's a crappy dad.
Yeah. Well, it's not just Odin, but I'm not going to get
Ego's
into it.
Ego's a really crappy dad.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Stark is a crappy dad.
Yeah. And actually,
hey,
so is...
Hey, you know who wasn't a garbage father? Yondu.
Yeah. Yondu was a good dad. That's a good space dad.
He may not have been his father, but he
sure wasn't your daddy.
Or he sure was your daddy. Or yeah.
Whatever. We butchered that line, but it's okay. You get the sentiment. It's all right.
I'm Martha Stewart, y'all.
Not Martha Stewart.
Whoa, wow.
Whoa. Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay.
All right.
Mary Poppins.
See you next week, everybody.
I'm out. I'm done.
We're done. I'm
good retired. Night, everybody.
I'm retired. I'm obviously losing it.
Quick, someone bring us out of the spiral.
What else did... Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
I've been playing Far Cry 5, and it sure is a heck of a lot of hillbilly good times. The story, while having the potential to be very interesting and good, it totally tanks. Screws that up. Yeah, it tanks
the mark. Yeah.
It totally misses the mark. But I also think that's not the game they wanted to make.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of the reviews were complaining about it, like, sidestepping all these issues. And it's like, I don't think it wanted to make a game that tackles serious issues. I think they wanted to make a game where you use a American flag painted dune buggy to jump over fire.
And that sounds pretty rad.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or have a pet cougar that mauls cultists.
I don't feel like any of the Far Cry games were really meant to be serious issue tackling games.
Yeah.
I mean.
The gaming press wanted more out of the game than they were ever going to get.
Yeah.
It's a Far Cry game.
Right.
At least they didn't reuse a map.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, on Polygon, I forget what video they were doing for it, but it was like ended up making up a fake game mode where all they did was throw shovels and spades or like hoes and stuff. Like, that's the only way of doing melee. They just, like, launch them across the map at the cultists.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I saw where somebody's, like, chucking baseball bats.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, like, a definite, like, and as much as I don't like turn your brain off and have a good time type of thing, this is definitely it, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
And it really leans into the hillbilliness of it all
yeah.
in a way that kind of is ironically fun to me.
You know, everything I've seen about it seems like it's like one step away from being an 80s canon film. Like, you can almost see Chuck Norris like
yeah.
going through fighting a bunch of hillbilly cultists in the woods.
Steven Seagal.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, he kind of did that.
Death Wish 15, his time in the woods.
It's just really stupid fun. I mean, I turned it down to easy because
mm-hmm.
I thought it was kind of difficult. And mm-hmm. it's also the kind of first person shooter that I'm bad at, where you have to like stop and think and hide and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to go through and shoot. Yeah. Powerful.
Yeah. I want to feel like I want to be the Doom Marine in every first person shooter I play. It's just the way.
He's just so angry.
Busting guns blazing.
Yeah. It's just the way I grew up playing first-person shooters, and that's the way they all were in the 90s. You know, Doom, Quake.
Duke Nukem.
That's just the way I like my first-person shooter. So I turned this one down to easy so I can feel like a real powerful big man.
How'd you play Wolfenstein?
Same way.
I don't think it works that way.
It was even more cathartic in Wolfenstein because it was Nazis and Klansmen. I just don't like having to be strategic or think too much in a first-person shooter. Unless it's something like Bioshock or like a System Shock where there's all kinds of different role-playing elements.
Right.
But like, it's definitely worth like renting or getting it out of a Redbox or something.
Being all goofy with.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun, like, Evel Knievel stunt missions.
Nice.
But there's a fake stunt guy named Clutch Nixon. And you go through and recreate all his old stunts that he did.
Excellent.
Those are fun.
I haven't seen one.
Well, it's because you're at work.
Rude.
I think my favorite Far Cry game, though, was Blood Dragon.
Oh, yeah, Blood Dragon was cool. I did play a little bit of Blood Dragon.
Super 80s.
That's the crazy 80s
yeah.
one.
Yeah, yeah, with the laser guns and the rad dinosaur dragon thing.
I loved, like, the 80s aesthetic, like, filter over thing.
Oh, yeah. Just, they went, like, just off the wall with it.
Oh, yeah.
So ridiculous.
Because I've only played Far Cry, like, Far Cry 1 and 5 and Blood Dragon.
I played 1. I really liked 1, but the map was really small because it was a product of its time. 2, I did not care for because 2 brought in the whole thing where you have weird superpowers, and you kind of go like Beast Man on people and maul people to death. But it did also bring in, you can make traps and spring traps on guys.
Mm. In 5, you can ingest homeopathic performance enhancers, which are drugs. Which I just unlocked that the other day. There's one that makes you punch real hard and you punch people and they go flying.
Nice.
And there's one that just makes you really fast, and it is called Fast.
Oh, creative name.
Actually, yeah, there's Fast, and then the one that makes you punch hard is called Furious.
And there's that's good. Yeah. I like that.
There's a third one, I forget, and I haven't gotten it yet.
Is it called
And?
And the.
I haven't gotten that one yet, though, so I don't know what it's called.
Well, it makes you turn really quick when you're running. It's called Tokyo Drift.
Yeah. I just imagine drifting on their feet.
I like the driving in it. The driving has a nice drift to the turns that I enjoy. The flying is total, like, baby's first flying game.
Oh, really?
Like, the planes can take off with, like, maybe, like, a half a foot of runway time. Mm-hmm. And you can just, like, basically turn 360 degrees in the air practically on the spot.
Yeah.
Like, Star Fox is a more realistic flying
and here I was wondering if it was more like Grand Theft Auto flying, where it's garbage.
Oh no, it's so easy that it's almost trivial.
Sky driving.
Yeah, it basically is sky driving. It's like Descent.
Jeez,
360 degrees of freedom.
Josh, did you do anything?
I've done some things.
Let me amend that. Did you do any non Sea of Thieves things?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I went out and as kind of like an impulse purchase, and I generally don't do impulse purchases to this amount. I went out and got a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Nice. Excellent.
Yay. You've joined the fold.
The fold of, I wanted to play Dad of War.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, how is God of War?
Yeah, how is it?
I've not played it yet.
Man, it's good. It's really good. I've played the other God of War games, and while they are enjoyable, mindless destruction, racking up as many combo kills as you can, this one actually has, like, narrative and depth.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel kind of sad.
And this one makes you feel for Kratos, where the other games, Kratos is just like a bad dude.
He's just an angry, angry, angry ball of hate.
He's not a good guy.
Murder yell man.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's Duva King. At least when I play. Yeah. At least when I play Skyrim.
But no, God of War is really good.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Everything is beautiful. Like just the levels just look amazing.
Is the camera, like, one camera thing cool? Because I read about that the other day. It just has one camera. It never cuts away.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I honestly, I didn't really notice. But no, it's good. Kratos is super grumpy. And
as he should be.
And has, like, basically his son will, like, say basically anything. He just poo-poos on it.
So he yells hard. Boy at him, right?
Oh, he calls him boy all the time.
Boy!
But there's like...
That boy ain't right.
Boy!
Atreus, that boy ain't right.
I'm the God of War, I'll tell you what, boy! He's definitely into some propane.
Mm-hmm. And he is propane.
And has some propane accessories.
Yeah.
Namely the axe.
Hank of War is propane.
How is the axe compared to the chain blades he used to have?
I think it's more fun. And the thing is that, like, the big difference between, like, this game and, like, past God of Wars, where you get a bunch of, like, items that do different things and, you know, moves you level up or moves you unlock and stuff. This one, it's more like there are multiple things to level up all at once. You level up Kratos. You level up Atreus. You level up the axe.
You level up your son.
Yeah. He's almost like his own set of supporting moves.
Huh, do you unlock cool. extra skill slots in son?
sort of. He's like kind of scholarly in his way. Like you find like runes everywhere and Kratos can't read it.
Because Kratos can't. I want to just believe he can't read at all.
I mean, it's
completely
possible.
Illiterate.
It's possible. Like, you find, like, runes, and, like, his mother taught him how to read them, and he reads them all. But then later in the game, where I am right now, is I'm finding these.
Now, is his mother one of the women from the sex mini games in the other game?
Wow. That's mean. She's dead. It's the whole story of the game. You're taking her ashes to the top of a mountain. It's her final
and rubbing
wish.
Them all over your body, because that's what Kratos does.
Was he like, maybe I won't do that this time?
I mean, as much as God of War did have its sex minigames, it didn't have anything on The Witcher.
That's true. Well, The Witcher doesn't have many games. You don't have to push buttons during the encounters.
Unicorns.
Yeah, on unicorns. I still have never gotten to that.
Anyway.
I did all the Kira Metz quests. I got that one.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez, Rick.
Man, The Witcher 3 is a good game.
Yes, it is. And also, everyone's a jerk. Everyone's a freaking jerk. Anyway, God of War.
I love Geralt so much, though.
I know. He's definitely an enjoyable...
Yeah, he's just as inconvenienced by side quests as you are. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite thing about him.
I like that he's going to be in Soul Calibur.
Yes, that's very cool.
Really?
Yeah, he's the guest character for Soul Calibur.
Oh, that's awesome.
It actually fits.
Yeah.
It's not Star Wars.
Yeah, it fits. And his trailer is like, I hate portals. It's like, I came through a portal and I hate it. So I'm here now and I'm going to fight people with swords and magic.
Kratos is kind of like that too. Like, you keep running into all these people, well, or things that used to be people, mm-hmm. and like, hey, can you do this thing? And Kratos is like, and then like Atreus is like, yeah, Dad, let's help these people, you know, accomplish their goals or whatever. And Kratos is just like, I spent an hour fighting this one stupid boss, and it kept killing me and kept killing me, and I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. And so I just was flipping through the menus, and I was like, I have a bunch of stupid experience points I haven't put in anything.
That helps.
And so I started doing that, and then all of a sudden I got all these amazing combos and whatnot, and I'm like, well, that was easy.
Well, or you could have just put it on easy mode.
No, because I'm not
here to have a good time, not a challenging time.
No, because I like to be challenged. I don't want to have my hand held.
I normally do. I normally have a problem with putting on easy mode. But in the case of first-person shooters
whatever,
that aren't
Cody.
Destiny, I'm not that way with Destiny makes you feel pretty powerful.
Some good shooting.
Yeah. The way that some of the bad guys just, like, you get a good headshot and their vaporous blood poofs out the top of their head. Like, God, Destiny's good.
Yeah.
More people should play Destiny.
Oh, then I played Sea of Thieves.
You played some Sea of Thieves. You stole some pirate booty. And
actually, some of my pirate karma came back on me.
Oh, nice. Okay. Can you tell a, like, one-minute story?
You're just like, no.
Well, no. I can. Okay. I got some guys at work interested in the game, and they both got in on it, and we were playing the other night, and we spent hours just collecting treasure chests and got the stupid 20 chest achievement, and I was a nervous wreck the entire time. I'm like, we have all this treasure on the ship, and what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And Skullfort popped up, and we ran over there, and there was nothing going on, so we completed it, like, start to finish, mm-hmm. got it done. Had, like, almost no supplies, no cannonballs, because we didn't prepare for it at all. And we all got kind of blinded by the loot, and we're collecting stuff, and I get on the ship, and I turn around, and here's another ship right on top of us, and just ended us. And I was like,
man.
Oh, no.
Oh, bummer.
Yep. Sunk us, took all our treasure, and then we tried to get revenge and chase them down, and it just... They were a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I now feel like what the other people felt like that I did that to.
I hate it when people complain about griefing in that game, because it's like, it's a pirate game.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
The whole game is designed basically to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
if that bothers you that much, maybe find a different game.
I don't get mad about it, because I understand that's the type of game it is.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. about being a thief on the sea.
I mean, I don't get mad when people end me in Rust, even though I could have made them the shoes I was wearing that they killed me for. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll get into a little bit of news.
Boo!
Hey, we're back. That was the theme song to Double Dare.
Why, pray tell, did we play that?
Oh, no reason.
Because you hate me.
What? No, what? No, wait a minute. Do you not like Double Dare? Nickelodeon's super sloppy Double Dare.
That was what it was called for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
No, I used to watch it. Yeah. That theme's just terrible.
That's a great theme.
Yeah, that's some a great theme. Squealing guitars.
Yeah. It's got the squealies and the peedlies.
Yeah.
If that was any more 90s, it would have pouches.
So you can get ready to get sloppy.
Yeah. Because Double Dare's coming back for like 40 episodes.
Yeah, they ordered 40 new episodes of Double Dare.
Too bad I don't have a family to play it.
Yeah. Me and Cody have a plan.
Okay.
Are you gonna rent a family?
No. We're gonna go rent a van, pick out some kids on the street.
That's a good plan.
I think like, that's illegal.
Hey kids, do you want to pick a giant nose or go down a giant gumball slide?
Yeah, because you couldn't say you want to be on Double Dare because they won't know what you're talking
about. They'll have zero idea.
Oh, because yeah, we're old.
Yeah, so they got to be, hey, you want to pick a big floppy nose?
Yeah. But I'm excited for it to come back.
Walk through earwax ears.
Oh, yeah. Grab the flag out of the thing and, yeah.
Dig through a messy pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that was, like, one of my favorites, the pizza one.
I absolutely loved Double Dare as a kid. Like, yeah. I was a very, very big Double Dare fan.
Oh, absolutely. That's same weird, here.
Cause you did, like, stuff that wasn't animated a whole lot.
Yo, but I like Double Dare.
So, do you think they'll get back the original host? Was that Mark
Summers?
No. Mark Summers?
I think it...
What's his phone?
Didn't Dave Collier do it at one point?
You know what? You guys talk. I'm going to look up the host.
I have to know that.
I must know this.
No, I don't think they can pay Mark Summers enough money.
Yeah, because he has OCD, doesn't he? He doesn't like to get super sloppy.
No, that's...
That's Howie Mandel.
But it's also Mark Summers.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's why he has stories. He's got that towel on his podium he's always toweling his hands off on.
Okay, so Mark Summers
is basically hell for him.
Was the original host, and then Jason Harris was the host when it came back in 2000. So it did come back in 2000.
Yeah, for Double Dare 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Summers would be a fun get, but I don't think it's necessary. I remember the Jason Harris episodes, and they're just as good.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't really come to Double Dare for Mark Summers.
You didn't. That's,
you came
that's very
for
true.
The GAC.
Yeah.
The messy physical challenge.
Yeah. Which I thought, what if you, like, talked to the other team and got them to agree on always daring? So all you did was physical challenges for the whole show.
That'd be
It'd be
amazing.
Like the best episode.
That would be the best episode. Yeah.
Or just take out all the trivia and just do obstacle courses.
Yeah.
What's your dream obstacle course item to do?
Oh gosh.
Because I as kind of lame as it is, I've always wanted to do that gumball slide. I don't know what it
that
is.
That gumball slide seems pretty good.
About, you know, being all the completely submerged in a ball pit down a slide seems pretty awesome.
That sounds pretty great. It's a classic. I got to go with the big nose.
The big nose.
You got to shove that hand right up that big nose and try to find that flag. Yeah, I'm for that.
Wasn't there like a big ice cream one?
Yes, there was a big
round, and that could be fun.
Yeah,
that
big ice cream sundae, sure, with the flag hidden in it. Yeah,
it smells awful because of the lights.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I've read that apparently it just smelled like death because the hot lights on like cream.
Yeah,
whipped cream. Well, in that one, they had, like, that pool full of baked beans.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the parody they did in UHF of that, where they had to find the marble and the oatmeal. And the prize is you get to drink from the fire hose.
I miss that video game show.
Nick Arcade?
Nick Arcade,
yeah.
Was great.
Yeah, that was rad.
Oh, man, yeah.
Man, I would have just killed the crap out of that game.
Should do it with adult guts.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this.
No, I don't want to do adult guts because that'd be boring. Because all the guts contestants were like young Olympians.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
They need to do guts with normal people.
No. Too old to hang off this bungee and try to make hoops.
It would just be jumping up and down on a bungee and then falling.
I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Like, my feet would hit the ground and I would just buckle. No.
I just thought of Legends of the Hidden Temple, but for normal adults who are very easily startled by jump scares.
So everyone?
Yeah.
I could just picture them going through that maze at the end and like a tribesman jumping out and like some adult just freaking out and running in the opposite direction. Yes.
Or
yes.
The temple guardian getting decked.
Well, that too. Yeah, depending on. Yes. That would be great.
I mean, I loved Legends of the Hidden Temple. That was
That was my favorite.
Yeah, I like that one. I really loved Nickelodeon game shows as a kid.
Well, I feel like that one had like the most like production costs.
Yeah, it was like, very well themed.
Yes, it was very thematic.
And it was very rigged.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Because they didn't have a budget. I think they pretty much ruined all the budget on the...
What about Get the Picture with Mike O'Malley?
Oh, man. I didn't remember that. And then you said Mike O'Malley, and I was like...
He's also the host of Guts.
Oh, that may be where I was getting it.
That was the one where you had to slowly unveil a picture and then figure out what it was.
What was that one game show they had where they always had like... They always
Finders
had like,
Keepers.
No. they always had like... Like judges from like the various like
figure it out.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was a good one too.
That was a really good one.
Yeah, they always had like the all fat in Roundhouse guests.
Yeah,
yep.
It's like Lori Beth Denberg and Danny Tamborelli.
Back before Keenan and Kel got too famous.
Yeah. More Keenan than Kel. Let's be honest.
Kel's a traitor. Or Keenan's a traitor. He went all the way to the Saturday Night Live, didn't bring Kel with him.
I know, right? Well, hey, you know what? Kel's doing fine for himself. He's a supporting role on one of those Nickelodeon like shows for teens, the one about the teenage game designers. Yeah, no, there's a show about two young girls who are preteen or teen app designers, like game app designers, and they get funded by this little boy who is the son of a rapper. And Kel is the rich rapper. He is basically toned down Kanye West, who is giving these preteens money to just have antics every week.
A decent premise.
Yeah, it's not too terrible.
I mean,
it's like iCarly, but app games instead of
web shows,
blogging, vlogging.
You think iCarly would be all that more relevant now than it was when it came out?
You would think so. Yeah. Like it's
with your Logan Pauls that the kids love.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about some other news.
Let's talk about something else.
Let's talk about non-trash human beings.
Venom.
Sure, he's better than Logan Paul. Yeah. He's better than the Paul brothers.
Yeah, that's true. So there was a trailer for the Sony not Spider-Man adjacent film Venom, starring Tom Hardy, and I hate to say it, but. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I did not think that was a movie that I wanted to see because how can you do a Venom movie who was introduced initially as a Spider-Man villain? Well, actually, as a costume.
As a Spider-Man costume.
Yeah. His DNA is intrinsically linked to that of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. So how would they introduce and have the character stand on its own without Spider-Man in the background, and it seems as though they're gonna make it work. It looks good.
He looks like Venom and he looks cool.
Yeah.
I was half expecting when like in the trailer when he goes flying off that motorcycle and the tendrils like grab the motorcycle and pull him back to it.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I thought it was gonna like do like kind of like an Agent Venom thing where it like took over the motorcycle and made it all Venom-y looking.
Well, that would almost be getting too close to like Spawn's cape.
Yeah, but he does that in the comics, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Spawn. Another product of the 90s with pouches.
Did you see Rob Liefeld?
Yes, why I keep talking about
it. He is introducing a character, a throwaway character in one of the Deadpool comics called The Pouch, and he is like a being comprised completely out of leather pouches with a giant gun that shoots tiny pouches.
The Pouch.
Mm-hmm. At least he can laugh at himself, I guess. Yeah.
You know what? The Rob has a great sense of humor about himself. He knows exactly how big of a joke he is, and he plays into it. Also, dude loves basketball. I follow him on Twitter. Huh. Loves basketball.
Didn't know that.
Big fan.
I can't get that Double Dare song out of my head.
I still got guts.
What was that? What was that other Nickelodeon show where you like the end of it was you sat in a roller coaster and went through a big pie?
That was What Would You Do?
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the pouch.
There's the pouch.
Oh god.
He is nothing but pouches. And look, he is shooting a tiny pouch out of his pouch gun.
His pouch head is hilarious.
Yeah.
What would you do? Also hosted by Mark Summers.
Yeah.
I remember watching that like every day after school.
It's funny.
But the moment Hey Dude comes on, you change the channel.
Yeah, change that channel because why? Yeah. Why would you watch Hey Dude?
Also didn't care for Salute Your Shorts either.
I liked Salute Your Shorts.
It was okay. I am in the extreme minority that I did not 100% love Pete and Pete when I was a kid.
Oh, I loved Pete and Pete.
Everybody loved Pete and Pete.
I don't remember Pete and Pete.
It's good.
Yeah.
Other than the whole cream corn thing.
Wasn't there like the strongest man in the world?
Artie. Strongest man in the world.
Yeah. He was all right.
I need to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, I think I need to as well. Because I bet I would enjoy it more now than I did then. Okay, pick a topic. Pick another thing.
We're really going down a Nickelodeon hole.
Yeah, yes, we're going down the nickel hole.
Nickelodeon hole. Man, that just sounded awful.
Yeah. Do we want to go into some Nintendo video game?
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
They announced their E3 schedule.
Yeah.
Which, once again, it's just going to be a Nintendo Direct.
And that's fine.
Yeah,
They don't need a big press conference.
Yeah. They don't need to spend the money on that, really.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about his new president, too.
Yeah, they got a new president, too.
Oh, they did. The what's his name? Isn't the...
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, but no, they got someone else?
Yeah, a younger guy, like a 46-year-old guy who used to be, like, in charge of Pokemon Company stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's exciting.
They got a young new president who will probably show up in Nintendo Directs and stuff like Iwata used to.
That's good. Maybe he'll be the Japanese like Reggie.
And yeah.
If he has a little bit of a sense of humor to him, that would be kind of neat.
I miss Iwata.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, my body is ready.
Please understand.
Please understand.
But anyway, the E3 stuff. What's going on?
I think the date for their thing was like June 12th.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's around the time it usually is during E3. And it looks like the big focus game, because the last couple of years, they've done their E3 just by focusing on one big game.
One major game, yeah.
Last year it was Mario Odyssey, year before it was Zelda. I'm putting money on Smash Brothers being the one this year.
Yeah.
It's the only thing they really showed in their information release they did the other day.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Do you think they'll have any other announcements to go along with Smash, or do you think it's just going to be Smash?
Oh, they'll definitely have other stuff. They always had other stuff the other years, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it'll be mainly Smash. Even the Treehouse bit coming after the Nintendo Direct, like they did the other years, is going to be Smash first. It's the first thing they're going
to
do.
Okay, hey, that's cool. That's fine. I'm actually looking to see, maybe, hopefully they'll have some information about SMT.
Yeah, that would be cool.
SMT and...
Shin Megami Tensei.
And Metroid.
I would love to see Prime footage of Metroid something? Prime 4, yeah.
Yeah. I don't get first-person shooters, but Metroid Prime 4 look, you know...
Metroid Prime, it's
that
not...
series is... decent enough.
It's not as much of a first-person shooter as you would think, either. There's a lot of, like, platforming and lock-on shooting. Like, it's more of a first-person adventure than a shooter.
And that's cool. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed for some Animal Crossing.
Yeah. They'd be nuts not to announce it at this point. But they also said that the Direct's going to focus mainly on games that are coming out this year.
Oh, okay.
So you won't get anything, like... crazy in the future.
Yeah.
Which is nice, because a lot of other companies will like show something and it's like, that's gonna come out in 6 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you see a trailer for it every E3 for the rest of your life.
Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like that biker zombie game for PlayStation 4.
Can you tell you what it's called?
I think it's called Days Gone.
Yeah.
But we've seen it like two or three. Yeah, the whole thing kind of
generic. Yeah, it is.
I mean, I'll give it a try when it comes out. Like, it looks like a neat game, but geez, you could come up with anything more interesting. But it gets old seeing games that early and then having to wait forever.
Yeah.
Like BioShock Infinite, what was that, like a solid 6 years between when they announced it and when it came out?
Yeah, that was forever.
Yeah, that was bad. So go ahead and keep it to recent games. I don't know, Sony's the worst about that, though. They do it the worst.
Yeah.
Like, we saw God of War for like 2 years before it just came out now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been seeing, this actually kind of leads into a little thing. We don't have it on the list, but I just want to talk about it for a sec because it just reminded me of it. Talking about games that were announced years ago and are just now coming out. So the Detroit Become Human's coming out soon, right?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah. Did you hear about any of the slight controversy that's been going on with Quantic Dream and any of that stuff?
They've been having questionable labor practices, haven't
they? Yeah, there was a French magazine that ran an article that interviewed a worker, someone who worked for Quantic Dream at one point, where they basically called the game design studio like a labor camp. Was super unfair, working conditions and wages and like hours and stuff like that. And so there was a follow-up to that, and someone was trying to do a follow-up article on it or whatever, and people were like trying to kind of like keep it kind of hush hush about that, the article in the French magazine and stuff. And the follow-up article writer contacted the original article writer and said, "Oh yeah, I can't get into things right now because legally I can't talk about any of this stuff." The follow-up article writer went to Sony and said, "Hey, what's going on with Quantic Dream and stuff and everything?" And Sony's like, "Nothing. Everything's going great." About the time David Cage announces, "We are suing that French magazine for a slanderous, libelous things." But he has no leg to stand on. David Cage is the creator and owner of Quantic Dreams, the game development company. But he has no leg to stand on because they were reporting facts, and not making wild claims. There was no conjecture or anything in the initial article. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what David Cage is doing other than making the bad game.
Yeah, the only defense I could see them coming up with was just being like, "Well, this is where the industry works," which is a bad.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's a real problem in the game development industry of crunch and how workers are treated. They've just been talking about unionizing game development at the last GDC. So it's an issue.
Yeah.
And David Cage is probably guilty of it.
He's probably incredibly guilty of it because he's David Cage.
Now we're going to get sued for slander.
Is David Cage.
I've heard, though, that Detroit Become Human is actually pretty good.
We'll see.
We'll see about that.
There's a demo coming out, actually, real soon.
Yeah. I have no doubt that it's probably going to be the best David Cage game.
Probably.
But, that's not exactly the highest bar to set. Heavy Rain was fine.
Yeah,
but
I liked Heavy Rain.
But, Beyond Two Souls, if you start looking at the plot for, more than half a second, that's weird and messed up.
Oh, that's the PlayStation Plus free game for this month, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm definitely going to get on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, jump on that. Have you played it in any before or just
No,
never?
I've not played
okay,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some questionable stuff in that one.
Oh, no.
My PlayStation 3 exploded right before it came out.
Oh, jeez. Bummer.
Yeah.
But that one was bad. The, what was it, Fahrenheit? Or
I never played Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy.
Indigo Prophecy,
depending on where you're from.
Yeah. And Omicron the Nomad Soul looks
an all-time classic.
Best game 10 out of 10. Yeah. No, it's the worst game, but it does have David Bowie in it.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for it, though.
Yeah,
that's
so weird.
That world that they created is so out there and different.
It's out there and different, but the game itself
is kind of a mess.
It's a mess. Yeah,
It doesn't know whether it wants to be an adventure game mm-hmm. or a fighting game or a first-person shooter. It tries to do all of those things.
We make it all the game.
Yeah, it's all the games, yeah. And none of them are good.
Yeah. I'm well, using an accent because David Cage is Belgian, so...
But the adventure game portion's yeah. good. I'll yeah. give it that.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
And walking around and navigating this weird future world,
mm-hmm.
that it's really unlike anything else design-wise.
Yeah. Right.
But we don't need to talk about old David Cage games.
Yeah, we don't. Okay.
I think Josh has fallen asleep.
You good, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're fine?
Okay, he looks good. Like you fell asleep.
Yeah. You take a little nappy poo there?
I was just listening.
Okay. Well, okay, Josh, then. Why don't you pick one? Pick an article. Pick a thing. I think we have time for one more.
There's a 4th Star Trek movie coming out.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Yeah, they announced that Star Trek 4, which has no title, is picking up a female director. I don't remember who they said she
was. Did they say who it was?
I don't think they said...
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they did? Mm. They're not just like, we're looking for a lady this time. They should bring Janeway back. It should be a reboot.
It should be Janeway.
A reboot yes. with Janeway.
So cool. S.J. Clarkson is the director. She has done... They're planning a 4th movie with Chris Hemsworth.
Hey!
Who played
he was
his
in the first
dad
one.
In, yeah, oh, yeah. He was Chris Pine's dad. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's skinny. He was skinny boy back then.
Mm-hmm. Clarkson is best known for her work on the TV scene, such as Dexter, Bates Motel, Orange is the New Black, and Jessica Jones. Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Directed a handful of episodes of The Defenders. So that's good. Like, that sounds really awesome, and I'm into it. If they bring Hemsworth back, maybe there's, like, time travel elements?
Yeah. I mean, it's Star Trek.
It's Star Trek,
or
yeah.
maybe it just takes place before Kirk was born.
Yeah, that could be. It takes place on the Kelvin? Is that the Kelvin?
That was the Kelvin,
The
yes.
Kelvin, yeah. I know Star Trek.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
I mean, if Kirk's not born yet, sounds like it's a good time for the galaxy.
Speaking of Star Trek and Captain Kirk and stuff, I guess the Discovery Season 2 is going to like feature young original series Kirk.
Huh.
Like,
I wouldn't think they'd go to that well already, but...
Yeah, like I've heard that's like the major, you know, that's like Kirk is going to be on whatever the... Is the ship the Discovery?
Yes, it's called the Discovery.
Okay, Kirk is going to serve briefly on the Discovery before being promoted to his own ship, the Enterprise.
That'll be interesting.
And everyone will be pregnant.
Everybody on the Discovery is suddenly pregnant.
You know, going back and watching some of those original series episodes, Kirk doesn't get down as much as
the jokes
make him out to be. Like,
he's not Riker.
No, he's not Riker. Yeah.
Oh, man. I tell you, I think one of my favorite episodes of the original series is when the Kirk doppelganger comes out of the transporter.
Oh, yeah.
You watch like Shatner go all super ham on the acting.
Yeah.
Angry Kirk and sad Kirk.
Yeah.
Was that the same episode where they had like that dog with the horn?
Yeah.
They just kind of glued.
It was a Cocker Spaniel.
The Cocker Spaniel with a horn
and a
mane that they like glued on it. Yeah. That was a good one.
Man, I haven't watched the original Star Trek in a while.
I need to sit down and rewatch it. It's been a few years.
Yeoman Rand.
Oh, God, Yeoman Rand. I was a fan of Yeoman Rand.
Her hair is awesome.
It is.
It was also fake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Although I like Nurse Chapel a lot as well.
Yeah.
She doesn't get as much attention as a main cast member, but going back and watching some of the episodes, she is like there a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And because it was Marjorie Barrett, that was Gene Roddenberry's wife.
Wife, yeah.
Yeah.
And also the voice of the computer in later series.
That's right.
Though going back and watching it, like you see, like George Takei in a bunch of roles, like he's Sulu,
mm-hmm.
but Sulu didn't have a job yet.
Yeah, he was just
he was like in the science department.
He was just
and then he was
agent
in this,
extra.
Yeah, it was in this other department, and it's.
But no, a Star Trek 4 with a female director. I think it's great. We need more female directors out there, especially
in genre work. The Abrams Star Trek movies have I think they got better.
Yeah. Yeah,
I haven't seen the third one.
I really liked it.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Mainly for me, it was better because it didn't try to copy any previously established Trek.
Yeah, like Into Darkness.
Into Darkness was
kind of ticked me off.
Yeah, that one got bogged down too much by being, you know, self-referential.
We're
to
doing
Wrath
the
of
same
Khan.
Thing, but kind of different.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Now Kirk's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you know, the third one's got that really amazing scene with that Beastie Boys song.
Yeah. The Beastie Boys song makes a comeback, and it makes sense within
why
the
movie.
They used
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
We should probably watch that.
Yeah.
A good film.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, I think we've pretty much hit time for the week, so we should probably go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Wait a minute.
What?
We didn't talk about the email we got.
Oh, yeah, shoot. We got an email. We should talk about that real quick.
Yeah. Guess what? It's mailbag time.
Mailbag time. Yeah, so we got an email from one of our super fans, Jordan. Thank you very much, Jordan, for sending us an email. It was specifically about the Austin Powers talk
that we had
last week. We were talking about who could play the son of Austin Powers. And let me pull this email up. Okay, so Jordan's email says, I'd like to see Anna Kendrick or Kat Dennings as Austin Powers' daughter. Because I guess it makes sense that we talked about the son of Austin Powers, but we didn't really extend it out to, like, a daughter?
Which is, I think, is an even better idea.
It's an incredibly valid point.
Yeah, like, I think it's a much more interesting film concept than son of Austin Powers. Because
mm-hmm.
then we'd have to deal with Austin Powers, I think, would very obviously be disappointed he didn't have another son to teach all his tricks and skills.
Agreed. Now, what do you think about Anna Kendrick or Kat Dennings as what would the female version of Austin?
They're both great. I love both Anna Kendrick and Kat Dennings. I think they would both be pretty good in this fictional movie we're making.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Anna Powers?
Actually, yeah. I think I like Anna Kendrick better than Kat Dennings for this particular role.
Yeah, I think in this, yeah, I agree. Would they give her the messed up teeth?
No,
Austin Powers' teeth.
Because even Austin eventually fixed
his
teeth.
They fixed the teeth eventually. Yeah, that is true.
That was the second movie.
I can't see Hollywood headlining a movie where a woman had an unattractive set of teeth.
Yeah, that's true.
As funny as it would be, they
would be
hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I agree. I think Anna Kendrick would be a better fit of those two.
Imagine her in the blue velvet jumpsuit with the
okay, let me imagine that for a second. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it'd be very funny.
Mm-hmm. It would be very good, funny and good.
Driving the Shaguar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I forgot that was a thing.
You know, it'd be perfect though. I just thought of because you mentioned his name earlier, Adam Devine.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Adam Devine is son of Austin Powers.
That would be good.
Yeah. I'm
trying to over that, but
yeah.
I think. Like,
yeah,
I
think that's perfect.
If they were redoing it now instead of Scott Evil, they could have. They can get what's her name from Parks and Rec as surly daughter of Dr. Evil. Aubrey Plaza yeah.
Or what if she just was Dr. Evil?
That could work too. Yeah.
She'd do it.
Absolutely.
She did Grumpy Cat.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, we were in the, again, thank you very much for the emails. You can, if you have any emails, you know, staff@nerdoverload.com, send them in.
We'll talk about it eventually when we remember to do it.
We were in the middle of the intro.
Yeah, you can follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's the nomenclature for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, just about anywhere you can find a podcast. You can find this podcast. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.